Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is Gus Gossard on KMPX, and we're talking with Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, listen, here, hold this. Let me get an ID from you first, and then also I don't forget it. Say that this is Jimi Hendrix on KMPX.
Oh, yeah, I did that. You know, that says it's a bloody interview.
That's why I want to get this, I want to get that at the end, because we'll use it in a produced tape.
But you just said that, though. So, you know.
All right. The way we were going to run the thing.
We can get, we got some kind of run, though.
Behind us, something like that. I was rapping with Buddy the other night on the air, and I asked him a question that how he felt in regards to where music is going right now, and since you yourself has played with other artists and have been billed with other artists and have studied music to the extent that these you are in your own thing is where you feel that music is going. But as an overall approach, taking into consideration, you know, like top 40 music, middle of the road, soft, or hard rock, or acid rock, what people might call it, or blues. What do you think?
I'm not sure. It's pretty hard. I think what's happening now is more of a basic thing. It's a birth of what's ever going to happen later on, maybe, you know, after the other generation grows up hearing this kind of music on radio now, you know? And this is probably a backbone. It's like what you call the early blues. You know, this is probably the same scene for the kids later on. And so therefore, it's taken millions of directions. You know, everybody has a certain, you know, everybody has a wide overhaul like of certain things, as long as it holds your interest. Like I like different classic and so forth too, as long as it holds my interest, you know.
Are you talking about the sound holding your interest or the message holding
no,
your
no.
interest?
No. Well, like, I mean, you know, the pattern of the notes, you know, in the sounds, you know, in the, whatever the message might be. You mean like, for instance, a musical message? Like when he's doing mathematical figures, maybe on his...
No chord progressions, nothing of the sort. I'm just talking about people listen to music like people listen, you know, to a lot of people like listen to just the sounds, just for the sensuousness
of
the thing. And other people listen like for the message, like which is very heavy, like in folk music, things like that.
Well, like words mean to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, like a lot of people wonder what happened to modern day poetry. Well, like, you know, most of it is on records now today anyway. You know. So, you know, you can enjoy it any kind of way. Some people have the enough open-mindedness to combine both, you know, the sound and the words together. And they can enjoy records so much more sometimes, it seems like.
Where do you think that you're going musically, as far as what you're doing?
Oh, no telling. I don't know. What is playing? I'm playing more of a mature type thing, not exactly what I feel at a particular time. And whatever it turns out to be, I don't know, really.
I mean, like, man, when you record, you just go record, or do you plan? I mean, are you thinking about what you're going to be doing musically?
Like, I write songs all the time, you know, and I have words in my head all the time with these songs. And then, if I really have faith in this certain song, you know, personal faith, like, because that's what we record LPs, like a personal diary. But if we do, then I'll run it down to them in the studio. Or either sometimes I won't, sometimes we just go in there and mess around and see what we come up with. Because I always have words. And I have a basic idea of how I want it to go, so we mostly go in the studios and jam with that sometimes. Or either take those ideas and I'll jam with some of my friends and hear different interpretations of it, you know.
When you were first starting to play, did you play blues guitar, or what type of guitar were you on?
No, well, I was digging everything. When I first started, I was digging everything from, like, Billy Butler, who used to play with Bill Doggett. All the way up and around to, you know, Muddy Waters. Yeah, Muddy Waters and Eddie Cochran. To bring everybody down and across. I don't know. I was just digging sound. I mean, I was just digging anything to help my interest.
You had to run with Curtis Knight for a while.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the cats that I used to play with. It's like there's millions of cursed knights around, you know. It's just that they try to capitalize off our name, which is very, very embarrassing because we don't think about, you know, that, you know, who wants to try to keep that up? You know, because you waste so much time doing that, you won't have time to really get your music together. And that's what we're trying to do. And then he comes around with this big, you know, scene. You know. And half those, matter of fact, hardly any of those tapes, that's why it's all settled now over here. Hardly any of those tapes I was playing on. There's one tape there I was playing about 3 seconds on, you know. And they edited it, you know, and did this and did that. And threw in the words here and there, and then threw in my name. It was wild, which is so embarrassing.
Yeah, the albums have you blasted all across the front.
Yeah, well, you know, that shows what's happening right there. Even our LPs don't go through all that scene.
How long did it take you to do the Ladyland, Electric Ladyland album?
Oh, yeah, it took about 3 months, I think. We was working on it for about 3 months. Off and on, because we were gigging, you know, and touring at the same time. And it's really hard to try to get anything together like that. So that's why I said, well, we must have got to make it this, you know, funky or something. Electric funk. Whichever. Electric church music.
You first started in San Francisco, right?
No, I started just all over the place. I guess in Seattle, and then I went to the Army from Nashville, and then, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, and Kansas City, and all these places. I starved in all of them. Yeah, I came out here before, yeah. I played here at the Fillmore with Ike and Tina and Little Richard about 4 or 5 years ago.
All right.
About 5 years ago.
Where do you think people were going, man?
Oh, man, I just gave them up on the mass, you know, let them go on their own way. It's just that this is the people that really have some kind of feeling for themselves, some kind of belief in themselves. You know? It's the ones we try to maybe help along the best way we can. Sometimes I just feel like a messenger sometimes. I can't necessarily get my own personal things together, but that's my own personal scene, you know. As far as maybe trying to give peace of mind to other people, I might be able to do that. And since we, you know, been noticed, as far as music, you know, we could use that, maybe. So maybe you can come to the concert and wash your souls in electricity or something, you know. One of those scenes. And then dissect it later on after you get home.
Like the scene in San Francisco, especially like down in the Heat right now. Say if someone asks you a question, man, like if I say something about, has dope, do you think dope changed the heads, or do you think the people's heads can be changed as much without dropping acid, say, let's say? Might take a longer time, but,
you know. Yeah. Well, see, you know, acid and all that shouldn't even be in the question of people getting themselves together in the first place, it seems like. I just use it, like, if I'm going to get into all that, I just use it as entertainment to me. I just get bored sitting in the movie house, so I just go on and, you know, do that. That's my own personal thing, though. And, you know, some other people should, you know, try to take care of their own thing, regardless of what, you know, the mass might do or whatever scene they might get into. It's very bad to base your whole life on a drug that you might run across and really love, you know. It's just like a girl, you know.
Think the image of a man is changing?
I don't know. That's what we're making these supernatural things, to see exactly where men are. Like, remember how Muddy Waters used to get into Hoochie Coochie Man? Well, like, it's like what they call black blues then, you know. And so that was like bringing the black person up higher, really, you know, trying to give his own self some kind of encouragement, you know. It's like how you have Ulysses and all these mythological type things. Well, we like to make that up only into representing man as you know, our friends. You know, it's a certain little 1 out of 5 scene. Yeah.